And it's my great pleasure today to invite you or to welcome you to the first international service. I will do a little bit in English and German at the beginning for those who might not understand so much English, like the kids in the front. And then we switch later to pure English. There are handouts at the back for those who are not so good in English, who want to read the sermon and the Lord's Supper, the Herrnmahl, also in German. So there are some German handouts in the back. The order of the service is a little bit different to what we normally do. For those who normally come on Sunday, it will be slightly different. We will have more songs. And I would just like to encourage you to really enjoy this, to worship God and to do it in English today. Auch nochmal auf Deutsch. Ich möchte euch ganz herzlich im Namen von allen Geschwistern der Gemeinde Christi in Hamburg begrüßen. Ganz besonders alle Gäste, die heute dazugekommen sind. Wir machen den Gottesdienst heute etwas anders als sonst. Deswegen lasst euch einfach überraschen und genießt den Gottesdienst. Genießt, dass wir heute zusammen Gott anbeten können und das mal in einer anderen Sprache. As it is an international service, of course, it's very interesting to see what different nationality do we have today. And so I know a few sisters and brothers, obviously, who are not from Germany, and I would like you to stand up and to say, herzlich willkommen, welcome in your native language, whatever that is. And I would really like to start with Grace, who comes from Ghana, to maybe just stand up and say, amen. We have Giovanna from Switzerland, which you do it in Italian or Swiss or German or French.
There are Italian
they are indeed.
Here, so,
bene. Then we have Italian guests. Steffi obviously is Italian, but maybe some of the guests, Daniele, Veronica, or... Ah, fantastic. Then we have, of course, people from the States. And I would really like to welcome Kyle, Susan, and Laura, who Kyle is preaching today to us the Word of God. And just maybe stand up and show us. I mean, the welcome in English is... maybe you have a dialect in Texas. Okay, awesome. Okay, well, we have also someone from China, Liang. Okay, who can repeat this? I think Kat, officially. What is your passport?
I was born in the States, but my mother is from Malaysia, but I do not.
Okay. Then we have people from Berlin, which is also quite a different language. No, it's not. Okay. Yeah.
But I'm naturally from Thuringia.
Okay. Any other nationality? I know Nicholas can say it in Russian, even though he is German. Excellent. A colleague of mine was supposed to be here from Belgium, but she somehow didn't find it. Maybe she comes later, then we would have it in French as well. But you see, there are different nationalities here, but we also have... different sisters and brothers from different churches who send the greetings to us for the service. So we ask for some greetings to friends we know. And here a couple of videos. This is greetings from the Birmingham church where Steffi and I were baptized. Okay, that was important now. So there are greetings from Munich as well.
Hello, Hamburg. Schön, dass du da rausgemeinte München.
Schön, Einladung.
So that is from Munich, and we have from the Santa Barbara Church, where Steve and Val send us greetings.
Greetings from the Church of Christ in Santa Barbara, California. Welcome. We would like to sing a song to you, and here it is.
And then one, some might remember Pam and Melissa were there last week.
We really enjoyed our time with these saints last week, and we pray God's richest blessings on your efforts for the cause of Christ there in Hamburg. Bye-bye.
That's a daughter. Okay. So let's have a great international service. Really enjoy it. If you do have language barriers, please feel free to talk to anyone or to talk to me. And I would like to pray now for the service, and then really looking forward to have a wonderful time. And then afterwards, of course, we have time for fellowship and some food and drinks provided. And I also would like to thank everyone who was involved in setting this up, in particular the team here and Katz, a lot of sisters and brothers helped, and this is really awesome, and I would like to give you a big applause for this as well. Okay, let us pray. Thank you, God Almighty Father. We are so excited to have this service today. We really want to enjoy the time. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us, Father, that we open our hearts and soften our hearts, and that the message, Father, the preacher will tell us really sinks into our hearts. Thank you for the time of fellowship. Thank you for the friendship we have in the church. Thank you for all the visitors coming from Berlin, from all different places in Germany and Europe and even outside Europe, God. Thank you for what we have, and we really want to pray for those who are not here today, that you be with them, that you strengthen them. Help us, Father, to let your healing hands into our life and your Spirit really move and change us, God. I pray for this service, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Today, often we are troubled. cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in Him who leadeth the way. He is living your soul. So let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice. Of a song, sing and be happy today. Off with them to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth come and pass us by, there are things we know that are worth more than silver. Trust in each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and you'll be happy today. Press along to the goal. Trust in Him who leadeth the way. He is keeping your soul. Let the world know where you belong. Look to Jesus and pray. Your voice and praise in a song, sing and be happy today.
Grazie.
Die meisten. Bei Halleluja stehen die Frauen auf, bitte an die Sonne richten. The women stand up when we sing Halleluja and praise the Lord, praise den Herrn, the men get up, which would be me. So,
first, we do it in German.
Yeah, first in German, but we still get up.
Yes.
And then we do it in English. Okay.
Halleluja, 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 preise den Herrn. Halleluja, 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 preise den Herrn.
Preise den Herrn.
Halleluja.
Preise den Herrn.
Halleluja.
Preise den Herrn.
Halleluja. Preise den Herrn.
So now, we do it in a different language. Which one? Yes, come there. Okay? So, that's how we
Greek. Greek? Halt mal so.
So, Doxatheo.
Halleluja, 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 Doxatheo. Halleluja, 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 Doxatheo.
Doxatheo.
Thank you. kids can go to the kids' kingdom.
No.
Have a kid.
Kids kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know where to go.
Okay. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm, which is my favorite psalm, actually. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
sappiamo perdonare, non permettere che cadiamo in tentazione. O Signore, abbi pietà.
Padre nostro, che sei nei cieli, sia santificato il tuo nome, venga il tuo regno, sia fatta la tua volontà, come in cielo, così in terra. Dacci oggi il nostro pane quotidiano e rimetti a noi i nostri debiti, come noi li rimettiamo i nostri debitori. E non ci indurre in tentazione, ma liberaci dal male.
Amen. Thank you, Ulrike. Well, there is the scripture from John. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we really remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And if we take the bread and the wine today, Jesus wants us to remember that He did what He did because out of pure love for us. And that was in the past and is still today, every single day. And Jesus is the life and the resurrection. And He gives us eternal life. And He gives us eternal life because He washed all our sins away through this act of sacrifice once for all. And this is really important because it's different than any other religion. We do not have to sacrifice day in and day out. Jesus did it, and that's once for all. It's all done. And He wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us His love, and He wants to give us the grace we all receive voluntarily. The question is whether we accept that gift. And the question is whether you today accept this gift. So if we take bread and wine today, the question really is what it means for you today. What does it really mean if you take the bread and if you take the wine? Can you accept Jesus in your heart? Do you accept Jesus as Lord? And do we, all of us, accept that actually Jesus wants to change our heart? And by changing our heart, we can change our behavior. We can really become a new creation in a spiritual way. And Jesus offers this. And we are not alone. We cannot do this out of our own strengths. But Jesus sent the messenger, sent the Holy Spirit to us to give us the strength to do what is impossible to do alone. So as we take bread and wine today, remember that Jesus wants to change your heart. And by changing your heart, he wants to really make you a new creation. And remember that Jesus is the life and the resurrection and the eternal life we all have been promised. And as we know, God always keeps his promise. So as we take the bread and wine, think about it, what it means for you today. And try to let Jesus into your heart, to change it, to mold it, and to make you a new creation. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to really thank you for the act of love and sacrifice you did for us, God, that you took all our sins on your shoulder, Father, that we are pure and purified for God. Thank you so much that we don't have to die every day, that we don't have to suffer the way you suffered. Thank you that you love us so much, which is beyond our imagination. Please, Father, help us to accept this gift from you, and help us to change our heart. Help us to change the way we are, and help us to be a new creation, the one you planted us to be. We love you, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I've been asked to read a few scriptures, which I do with great joy because there is a very big promise inside them. Our Lord speaks to us through John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be there where I am.
Chapter 12, verses 28-34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Have you ever had someone give you such a good answer, you had nothing else to say? Or have you ever had a kid ask you, a child ask you, "What is really important? What matters in life?" When Jesus answers a question like this, I am overwhelmed. Reading that scripture just now, it was overwhelming to me to ponder his answer and what that means for us in our lives. We're heading to heaven. Heaven is our home. Look around, folks. We're not there yet. We have a way to go. That scripture in Mark came from Deuteronomy. And we won't read it again. But it is called, in Hebrew, and if you can speak Hebrew, please correct this word if I pronounce it wrong. It is called the Shema. Or perhaps it's pronounced Shema. I'm not sure. Shema? Am I closer? Shema. "Hear, O Israel," normally we say in English, at least. In Texan, we would say, "Listen up, folks. I've got something to say. I've got something important to share with you." And that's what God did with his children, and that's what Jesus returns to in his ministry. Basically, what he is saying, I narrowed it down to four areas. Who is God? Your screen's a lot smaller than ours in Hildesheim, I'm sorry. What does God want? What does he expect of us? And where are we going? I think this scripture in Deuteronomy is a perfect summary of God and his church, God and his people. I came across a book before the summer, written by Larry Crabb, "The Safest Place on Earth." I have the German version with me if you'd like to look at it today. He wrote in his book, you're having fun. I'm writing this book because I want to see us turn our chairs. Our souls need to face each other. And then I want us to get off of our chairs and onto our knees. Before we climb back up to our seats, I want us to wash each other's feet. Maybe figuratively, maybe literally. Worship, humility, then dialogue. That is the order. Who is God? Maybe better would be the question, who is your God? We live in quite a unique culture, much more unique than I grew up in Southwest Oklahoma. What do we call it today? We live in a multi-culti. Can you say that in English? A multi. No, you can't say that. People are aware of many different influences on their lives. We were at a moshe on Friday. A friend of ours is one of the leaders in this moshe, and I've promised him for years now to come and visit them when they have an open house. And they had their open house on Unification Day in Germany to stress the point that we want to be all unified as religions. That's what he said in his talk. He talked a lot about how God and Allah are the same. He talked a lot about the peacefulness of Islam. We look at our world, though. We don't see peace. We see war. We see strife. We see problems. We can look into our own lives and realize we have our struggles too. Our marriages are not perfect. Our kids, yeah, they're perfect. What do we do as believers in God, the one God, the true God, and followers of Jesus Christ? We want so bad to share our faith. I want so bad to tell others about this Jesus who loves me so deeply and what he did for me. We want to evangelize. We want to reach out. Was that a picture of evangelism I saw on the street with one of the ladies?
The book.
Book table. Yeah. We want to share this message. But then we run into the other rule in Germany and Europe. Everyone can believe what they want to believe, just don't tell me how to believe. Your belief is okay as long as you keep it for yourself. It's difficult. And many who entertain the idea that there is a God tend to mold that God into their own vision of who that God is. Their own idea. Mold that God into their lifestyle and their expectations. Instead of searching for God who is there and who is among us and who loves us and cares for us. And for many who struggle with God, it's been my experience that there's basically a problem of trust, of letting go and trusting this God who knows you deeply. Larry Crabb also wrote, I didn't put it up there. Let me read you this quote, also from the same book. All of us enter life with a severe handicap. We trust no one. And our deepest inclination is to seize from life what we need while protecting ourselves from its disappointments and threats. That's a great deterrent to a living spiritual community. There it is. That's what he said in German. German can be shorter than English sometimes. Not much. When it's hard to trust someone, that is a deterrent. And hindrance. A problem in a living spiritual community like what you have here, and also one's ability to let God reign in their life. On the one hand, if we evolved as humans, then I can see that the need to reach our potential is a positive adaptation. It's a good thing. But if we are created from a unity of three persons, who created us to fellowship with one another in four fellowships, than a drive to actualize myself, to develop the ultimate potential of myself while ignoring God. Is really a confrontation of his desire for his children. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I think there is a need for vision in life, in your workplace, in your job. So I've heard you have to have a vision, your own personal vision for this year. What are you going to achieve? What are you going to do for our business, for your work, your own personal vision and goals? And that's good. And that's needed. For our families, that's good and needed. I believe God can work through those plans, through our lives in that way. And he wants to share in the experience. But he wants to be your God. He wants to be first in your life. And that's where sometimes our goals get in front of our belief in God. We turn around in a backward way. What is it that God wants? Put two words on it. Intimate fellowship. I used to use the word relationship. And especially in German, I used to use the word Beziehung quite a bit. Until one of the brothers in our church came up to me and said, well, he didn't use these words, but basically he said, would you please stop using the word relationship in context with God? Okay? For him, relationship was taking a step backwards. And fellowship was opening up the door for God to be in his life, involved in his life in a much fuller way. I understood what he said. When heaven is our home, what do we call this? A caravan? A house trailer? We saw a lot of house trailers this summer. On the road in America, as we were visiting supporters, we saw a lot of Americans moving their houses down the road. I don't know what you want to call this intimate fellowship, but it is leading us to that home that God has prepared for us. And that's the exciting thing for me, is to know that this brother and this sister will be with me forever. Rejoicing. Doing whatever we'll be doing. Maybe you do things like we do in the other time. Eating together, I'm sure you do. I saw that. Youth getting together. Having them over to your house for your 100th birthday party. That was last year. So what is God's will for his children? Another idea from Larry Crabb that I like. If God created us, and if he is good, then why would our core passion not be to celebrate him? Imitate him. Get to know him. And reveal him by the way we relate as the most wonderful, loving person in all the world. Why are we so concerned about looking after ourselves?
If I could answer Larry Crabb, my answer would be, we're fallen creatures. We're broken people in need of redemption. And there's no way to get around that. As our friends that we know personally have come to understand this perspective, some have reacted by wanting to know more. Who is this Jesus? Others have become more inward, almost obsessed with their own problems. I find it interesting, the different reactions that we have gotten in our lives from friends. The message that we share. What is your message? God is for us. He is among us. He wants the best for you. Maybe not in the way you think, though. Kind of like my daughter, you saw here. She doesn't always understand our rules. And never understands our consequences. But when she breaks a rule, we don't always understand God's ways. Why he does what he does. Why he allows what he allows. But we teach. We share this message. We get involved in the lives of others. Helping sometimes with English. Helping sometimes with life struggles. In Hillesheim, we've been moving our way through the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter by chapter. And I've been impressed again how Jesus incorporated these three areas, teaching, sharing, serving, into his ministry, into his life on this earth. He taught so profoundly, so deeply, using such simple examples. Simple daily examples that revealed complex ideas. Sometimes these ideas came to fruition later in the lives of the disciples, the apostles. They understood it later. At that point, they didn't. And at the same time, with these followers, the 12, and the multitude that usually accompanied him, that guy still found time to go be with his father. He did not let go what I sometimes do, of that intimate relationship with his father. For him, that life did not exist without that intimate fellowship. He shared life with his followers while maintaining this intense relationship. And he served, giving examples after example that serving is how one becomes great in the kingdom, in his kingdom. So, where are we? What does God expect? God has expectations. He can't share his throne. It's one thing God cannot do. God wants us to decide to put him on the throne, not to place him on the throne among many other thrones. And I think that's why these series of pictures from a baptism of one of our young guys hit me so strongly as I thought about this point. Marvin, the young man there, being baptized by my son Aaron, is making a statement. He's saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. God, you are on my throne. Yeah, not perfectly. He is not a perfect kid, as we all are not perfect. He will make and does make mistakes. But I believe he will also, in my prayer is, that he will continue to put God on that throne in his life. The biggest throne in Germany, I'm taking a step out here, a risk to say this. Maybe you disagree with me, that's fine. Seems to be the biggest throne in Germany, self. One of my friends struggled with his previous job because he could not let his boss be the boss. His marriage suffers because his interests come first, always. He believes in God. We have wonderful conversations when we're out together doing stuff about faith. He maintains a devotional time with God. But he struggles with this idea of who is on my throne. I think he's sharing at this point. My prayer is that he'll learn to knock himself off one of these days and let God be on his throne. We run into this text in Mark, in the ministry of Jesus. He quotes this in Mark 12, like we read, after a series of questions, actually trying to trap him. And I love this statement from the teacher of the law when he said these words to him, when he answered Christ in this way. We've already read it. We won't read it again. And Jesus' response, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," is a message to me, tells me something. This is something that people understand. They get it. Loving God with all of your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself. When you put those words into action, people respond to that. They understand that. It communicates, I think, in our culture. Actions speak louder than words. Or as James said, James 2. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But if someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." God desires us, our whole self, to be involved in this journey with him. Involved in a loving, caring community of believers that is open to all. Different nationalities. Multikulti is what God's kingdom is about. There's a huge difference in acceptance of God's message when we show people we care, as opposed to just preaching to them or teaching them about faith. I'm amazed, and I see it here among you, at the wide range of believers, of members we have in our church. We have a engineer who works for Bosch, has his doctorate, making little bitty cameras. Very well. Very good little cameras. And one day I was, after worship, in our fellowship time, I looked over and he was talking to a lady, young lady in our church, who's illiterate, cannot speak or write. And my thought was, only in God's kingdom would you see that happen in Germany. You really don't have that kind of mixing of status and cultures like you do in God's kingdom, where we're there to be for we're there for one another, to be with one another, understanding each other. C.S. Lewis told a graduating class at Cambridge University that no greater temptation would face them than the urge to create an inner ring of community that was special because it excluded others. But we got to ask the question, who do we exclude? Who do I exclude? That's a struggle we all have. Even though we have those glimpses, those times when we see that happening in our community, in fellowship, it is still a struggle. Where are we going? To put it in Paul's words, we're going to the finish line. Hebrews, is that Hebrews? Yeah, Hebrews 12. Running the race that is set before us. I think I got it. Yeah. With perseverance, this race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. My son loves unusual things. My second son, Aaron. You may know him. I don't know. He's still with us. Has one more year of school. Has his hobby. Doing his hobby. There's no translation for that. Yeah. Graduating from high school this spring. He loves unusual things. And when he was doing his exchange year in Camas, Washington with Susan's sister and her husband, he fell in love with this. It's called Tough Mudder. You can do it in Germany, believe me. Somewhere between Berlin and Dresden, there is a Tough Mudder competition. That's him on the far right, Aaron. And this is, folks, this is your new church activity, church outing here. This was mostly a church group from their church there in Camas, Washington. So you have a new idea. I'm giving you a new idea today of what you guys and gals can go do together. Okay, it's called Tough Mudder. And you can do it here in Germany. It's an obstacle course, a Hindernislauf. 18 kilometers, 22 obstacles. Yeah? And he was a part of this group that came together for a common purpose. They ran as a group. They encouraged one another as a group. In fact, they were complimented on by some of the leaders of that race, of that particular race. You guys are the most enthusiastic, hanging together group that we have seen today. Big compliment. They helped one another when an obstacle was too difficult. As Aaron shared with me after this race, about the race, I realized how similar our lives are in a community of believers, in the church. We start this race out clean and excited, full of promise. Full of promise that we're going to get through this thing. And then we get dirty. That's called the mud mile, and is actually about 50 meters of running through mud up to your waist, having to climb over a hill of mud, back into another mud bath up to your waist. He lost his brand new GoPro video camera, and had just found it. He had to dive down and search around to find it. Made the race a little more exciting. But we also get tired. That's the mud mile. Climbing over, back in, up and down, up and down. That's just one obstacle, people. That's just one of 22. They weren't all like this. Helping one another. They needed help. Some in their group needed help to finish. In this year, there was one section so steep that they were helping one another up this steep section, waiting on one another to walk up this hill. But then they crossed the finish line together as a group. I think they were even holding hands. I don't know. I can't remember. But so is our life in Jesus, in this community of believers. Why do we look at the life of Christ and talk about Jesus, what he means to us? Why do we get together for activities? I hope you did too. Why did you get together this past summer and watch the World Cup games together, especially when Germany played? That's what we did. Why do we go on canoe trips like you saw that picture? That was one of our canoe trips. We play baseball once a year. Other assorted church activities. Why do you do that? I asked Aaron that. Why did you do that to yourself? He told me why. It was a good reason. Why do we worship and pray and commune together? Dive into God's word every Sunday at least. Because God has a message for us. And he loves fellowship. Jesus ends this chapter of Mark 12. And this is in verse 41. With the offering of this poor widow. She gave all she had. And even though her gift was nothing compared to what that rich man just put into the offering plate, Jesus called it a gift out of her poverty. To me, this seems to be the key to how one can live for God with all of his heart, soul, and mind, strength. How one can truly love his neighbor and himself or herself. And that is to realize how truly empty we are without Jesus. To understand that God wants to fill us with his Spirit and enable us to love him. That ability comes from him. To love him in this way that he wants is humanly impossible. Comes through his Spirit, the gift that he has given us. And that is how we can begin, through his Spirit, through that strength, to live out these greatest commands that God has given us. One more quote. C.S. Lewis made a point one time. If you read history, he said, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth. Precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. And then he said this, aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither. What are you aiming at today? A challenge for us all in this world. May God bless you. May he keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Jesus said he walked along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, got sunshine every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel man. Old folks ain't so tired no more, cause they're walking on heaven's road. Walking in the heaven's road, I'm gonna lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he walked along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, got sunshine every day. Won't you